Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're so happy that you've joined us today. Whether you're at home, in your office, in your car, wherever you are, thank you for joining us for this month's lifestyle feature. We are on page 44. If you have your Advanced magazine, please open to page 44. We're going to be talking about procrastination. And with me in the studio today is Amanda.
Hello, Steve, and hello, listeners.
We specifically asked Amanda to come in today because she is a good procrastinator.
How did you know?
Is it true?
I think I've improved, but I would say in the past, a terrible procrastinator.
Terrible? Wow, let's talk about that more later. And Albert, welcome, Albert.
Hello, everyone. I was hoping that we could put this off.
Yeah, I wanted to do this radio program
right
later.
Nice.
Okay, well, the big word for the next 2 days is procrastination. So you need to know this word. It's a long 5-syllable word. And it means what, Albert?
To keep delaying on something that must be done. Usually it's something like a task that is unpleasant or boring.
Yes, procrastination. The prefix pro means forward, and crastination or crastinate comes from the Latin word meaning belonging to tomorrow. So you're actually putting off to tomorrow something, right? You're pushing it forward into the future. So that's the topic. I think it's something we all deal with in life. In fact, we like to joke about it a lot, as we just did. I went on the internet just briefly looking for some jokes, and there's a lot of little quips and lines. For example, you know the famous Nike phrase, just do it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this one says, just do it later.
Nice.
See? Or how about this one? If good things come to those who wait, then isn't procrastination a virtue? Then it's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
If you can wait, then you're going to get something better later. I like that one. How about this one? Procrastinators of the world, unite! Tomorrow. So it's something we're all aware of. It's something that affects us all. It's procrastination. In an age of information overload, and sometimes we might say I.O. for information overload to shorten that up, what happens when something is overloaded, Amanda?
Well, usually it either shuts down or it can stop because it can be too much of something.
That's right. I think of maybe a washing machine. It can be overloaded with clothes. And if you've ever done that, you know that sometimes something bad could happen or it would shut down, right?
Yeah.
What else might overload?
Well, computers or circuit boards, when there's too much electricity, say it's a thunderstorm and thunder or lightning hits your house and the electricity is overloading your circuits.
There you go.
Yeah, you have some gadgets that might break down.
Yeah, good example. I also just thought of sugar.
Ooh.
Like when kids eat too much sugar, we call that sugar overload, and they're just hyper and bouncing off the wall and running around and screaming. They're not behaving in the normal way.
Right.
So that's what happens when we overload something. When we overload ourselves with information, we could also break down in some sense, and we don't operate as we should. Well, let's get into the reading. As I said, we're on page 44, and let's start talking about procrastination right now.
Procrastination in an age of information overload. An age-old problem in a new, more distracting era. Everyone dawdles from time to time. It's a universal trait. But not every procrastinator is the same. Procrastination comes in two types. Some of us procrastinate in order to pursue restful activities, spending time in bed, watching TV, while others delay difficult or unpleasant tasks in favor of those that are more fun. The rest-seeking procrastinators would generally rather not exert themselves at all, while the fun task procrastinators enjoy being busy and active all the time, but have a hard time starting things that are not so amusing.
Okay, thank you, Lois, for that reading. We begin by saying it's an age-old problem in a new, more distracting era. Why would the author say we're living in a more distracting era, Albert?
Well, I mean, if you just look for that device in your pocket, it's a smartphone and you're connected to the internet. It's so convenient.
Yeah, it is, and it can be a big problem. We'll talk more about that a little later. Well, Amanda, take us into this first paragraph.
Everyone dawdles from time to time. It's a universal trait, but not every procrastinator is the same.
Okay, what does dawdle mean?
Well, it's in our vocabulary focus, and it means to do something or go somewhere very slowly, taking more time than necessary.
Okay, in one sense, we could say it's like wasting time.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the word it rhymes with, waddle, like a duck waddling over. And if you waddle over to meet up with somebody, you're probably going to take too long and be late.
Yeah, you're going to take your time. You're going to waste time. Mm-hmm. And that's a universal trait, meaning all of us experience it, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're human, then you understand what this means. Well, the author says procrastination comes in two types. One type is procrastinating in order to do something relaxing, like spending more time in bed, watching TV. That's one reason we procrastinate. We just want to relax ourselves. What's the second way, Albert?
The second way is if you have something unpleasant, something you're not looking forward to, something maybe it makes you cringe a little. It's like, oh, I don't want to do this task or chore because it's just not fun. I'd rather do something else.
Very human, right? Mm-hmm. We all have experienced this. We would rather do something fun, something entertaining, rather than doing something that requires us to use our brain or our physical energy. Well, the rest-seeking procrastinators would generally rather not exert themselves at all. Amanda, this reminds me a little bit of another word, a four-letter word. It's not a dirty word, but it's spelled L-A-Z-Y. How does being lazy fit into all of this? What do you think?
Well, it says they would generally rather not exert themselves at all, and that's what lazy people also try not to do, try not to exert themselves very much.
Yeah. So are we talking about procrastinating like purposely, or are we just talking about being lazy?
Right.
It's a distinction that the author wants to make, and we're going to find out in the next paragraph in a moment how even scientists are looking into this and trying to determine the cause of the reasons why we procrastinate. Okay, but the fun task procrastinators, they like being busy. It's not that they don't want to do anything. They just want to do stuff that's fun, that is amusing, where there's a quick payoff. Albert, we're going to talk about this a little more later, but are you good at delaying gratification?
I am. I think it's something that you just have to work on almost, because like it's right now I feel like, oh, this is so much more fun or pleasurable to work on instead of something that may be a little bit more long-term goal that I can't see where the reward is.
Yeah. I think in Chinese they say 先苦 后乐, right? You have to cry first, and then later you will be happy. But there has to be that period of working and toiling and maybe crying before you can enjoy yourself. So get the hard stuff done first and then enjoy yourself. Mm. Okay. Well, let's go into the science of procrastination. Please join us as we read on line 18.
The science of procrastination. The tendency to procrastinate has been linked to both genetics and the neurobiology of the brain. Variations in the structure of genes that regulate dopamine in the brain influence the extent to which we can control our attentional focus. One new study has shown that variations in a gene that regulates the neurotransmitter acetylcholine in turn affect our ability to experience a sense of reward.
Lois, you did a great job with those words. Those are some big words towards the end. Acetylcholine, neurotransmitter. I'll be honest with you guys. When we're talking about procrastination, being lazy, I'm just a little skeptical when scientists get in on this and they're trying to figure out the genes and the causes of this. When, in my mind, I'm thinking, it's just laziness. You know? I don't know that there could be a biological explanation for being lazy or procrastinating. What do you think, Albert?
Well, that's kind of scary that it actually could be genetic. When you talk about something that's genetic, we talk about like things like DNA, how it's in all living things, it's a building blocks where one parent gives it to another, their kids, their child.
Yeah, isn't that strange that a child can be more prone to procrastinating because his mother or his father are good procrastinators? It's like something that he received from his parents. What do you think about that, Amanda?
Well, it kind of verges on characteristics or traits, really. You know, so, you know, we do study, you know, how does a child become like its parent? You know, the traits it may pick up, is that nature, is it science, or is it nurture?
Good point.
These kinds of things. So I think there will be that ongoing debate for a long time.
Good point. Yeah, the ongoing debate, is it nature or nurture? Are people lazy because it's in their genes? Are people lazy because they learn it from their parents or society around them? Well, line 20, take us into line 20 for us, Albert.
They're talking about how there's various structures of genes that regulate dopamine in the brain. And dopamine, if correct me if I'm wrong, is basically that chemical in your brain where when you do something good, it rewards you with a shot of like pleasure almost.
Yeah, a chemical, right? It's a chemical in your brain.
That makes you feel high, a little bit happy.
Sure, sure. I think there's dopamine. It's been said there's dopamine in turkey meat. That's one reason why everyone gets so happy at Thanksgiving. Because there's a little high that people experience after they eat their meal. I'm not sure. It sounds okay to me. I like turkey enough.
Yeah. And so the dopamine also controls our ability to be able to focus.
Okay. Well, I think people want that high, and so they're going to do things to get that high. And procrastinating sometimes gives people that high. Let's be honest, right? Maybe when you put something off, something that's unpleasant, you're going to get a little shot of dopamine in your brain. I like that. Well, line 22, this is kind of a tough sentence to get through. What I recommend right now, first, is cutting some of that out so that it reads like this. One new study has shown that variations in a gene affects our ability to experience a sense of reward. And cut out those big words for now, so that we get a better grasp of what the author is saying. He's saying that there's a gene in us, and the gene is different in different people, and it affects our ability to experience a sense of reward. Maybe it affects the dopamine production in our brain. Okay, let's move on now to reward and satisfaction. Speaking of getting that high, one way we get a high is through a reward. So let's read about that now on the right-hand column.
Reward and satisfaction. Reward is an important part of the story of procrastination for all of us. We tend to put off those things for which we will not get an immediate reward. Projects with a long event horizon, such as those undertaken by academics, engineers, writers, housing contractors, and artists. The output of their work can take weeks or months, or sometimes years to complete. And then, after completion, there can be a very long period before they receive any praise or gratification. And so there is a very strong pull from the brain's reward center to engage in something else that will deliver a more immediate sense of satisfaction. The Internet to the rescue.
Yes, reward and satisfaction. Friends, if you've just joined us, we are on page 44 in the March issue of Advanced Magazine. We're talking about procrastination in an age of information overload. And with us in the studio, Amanda and Albert. We're talking about working hard first and then enjoying the pleasures of that work, reward and satisfaction. Now, Amanda, take us into this paragraph for us.
Well, we learn that reward is an important part of the story of procrastination for all of us. We tend to put off those things for which we will not get an immediate reward.
Do you do that?
I would say that in the past I did that. I think that I've learned not to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask, like, how you learned not to do that?
I think it was more the fact that we have certain deadlines that we need to meet. And when you are not meeting those deadlines and you realize you're letting people down, I think that's one of them. And also just that the outcome of your procrastination does not have a good result.
Right, and it affects other people. Right. Are you talking specifically about working here?
Yeah, I think for one thing, you know, something that we do here is we write tests.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not in the past enjoyed doing that. It's something that I prefer to do other things sometimes, and so I would put that off. But then I realized, it really puts out other people, you know. And not only that, when I'm having to do things at the very last minute, it can become quite stressful.
That's interesting. So your desire to do the tests was motivated more to not let others down? Could I say that?
And also not to stress myself out.
Okay. Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very good. Albert?
I just want to add that so Amanda has even more deadlines now because she's the new managing editor. So basically, the way to overcome procrastination is become a managing editor.
Give yourself more deadlines.
You have more deadlines.
Deadlines. Wow. Yeah, I don't think I've ever lived under so many deadlines as I have since coming here.
Right.
Some jobs don't have them or they're not as important.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're working with magazines and production, boy, there certainly are a lot of deadlines,
mm-hmm.
and it's very easy to procrastinate. Well, we tend to put off those things for which we will not get an immediate reward. What kind of reward would you get by doing something fun, Albert?
Well, I think just immediately right there at that moment, if I was procrastinating, I'd probably go on Facebook, get a few laughs, maybe share something and make a bond with a friend. But it's very temporary. It's very at the moment,
mm-hmm.
instead of doing something long-term like other people.
Okay. Let's go and talk about some of those things. Talk about academics. You're going to go to school. It takes 4 years maybe if you're going to go
mm-hmm.
to college. That's going to be a long-term commitment. You're not going to get the satisfaction of having a degree in your hand until 4 years later.
Right.
Right. How about engineers, Amanda?
Well, often the projects that they're working on, you know, they're having to experiment and see if something will work or if it fails. And if, you know, it's they're having a lot of failure in their experiments, then that can take a long time before they overcome that.
Yeah, good point. Writers, Albert?
Well, you know, for writers, it's just a trial and error process where they write something and they feel like it's good, but, you know, sometimes they might have editors look at it or people who can critique it, and then they give it back to them. It's not that good. But it's just a really long process to put something like an article or a book even.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
There's a big editing process, and if your editor is good, he might or she might tear up what you've written and say, you got to fix this, and you got to fix this, and I don't like this.
It's an uphill battle that you have to fight constantly.
Yeah, but you're feeling driven to write something, you want to express yourself, but there's a process you have to go through.
Right.
Housing contractors, I could speak to this a little bit. There is a great sense of satisfaction. I used to work for a contractor where we would remodel houses and bathrooms and kitchens and stuff. And it was really rewarding after a day of work, looking back at the work that you've done. You could actually walk through the house and see the progress. Although it's not complete, or it may not be complete at one time, you can see it taking shape. And it gives you a sense of reward. Like, okay, I've done something today. I've worked with my hands, and I could see that satisfaction, that reward. Unfortunately, I think of teachers. We're all teachers, and there's a lot of teachers listening. And I think one thing that might be discouraging is teachers don't get to see their work or the results of their work right away, right? And so teachers have to really trust that what they do is working and positive for the kids and the society.
Right. No, I mean, that just reminded me of how when I was young in high school, about 15 years ago or so, there was this one friend, he was in college, and he was super nice. Like, every Friday he would offer to give me a ride to church for small group. And at the time, I didn't really think of anything as a big deal or anything. But fast forward to like 10 years later, I realized like that made an impact in my life. And I'm emailing him, trying to find him on Facebook. He's not using Facebook. Surprise, shocker. But I finally tracked him down, and I just wanted to, you know, drop him a line and say, hey, you know, thank you very much. It took this long. And he probably wasn't even looking for that, you know, the thank you. He was just doing a good deed, I feel like, to, you know, lend a hand, help give that ride. And I feel like for teachers especially, they won't see the impact they're making. And they might not even see it ever at all, but they are making impact. And I feel like with anything you do, I think the harder the work is, the greater the payoff.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It may be difficult to start. It may be difficult to handle, but
that's a good point, Albert. There are people in my life that I have thought about contacting. Unfortunately, I put it off. But it's a joke, but it's true. There are really people I thought, wow, I'd really like to find that person because they did something for me for many months, maybe, in investing in my life and helping me. And I wanted to say, hey, thank you. Just thank you for what you did. I think people need to hear that, right?
Yeah, more often. It doesn't even have to be a whole paragraph. I just wrote one line, and then we started opening the lines of dialogue.
Yeah. Well, the output of many people when they go to work and the reward that they receive can take weeks, months, or years to materialize. And then after completion, there can be a very long period before they receive any praise or gratification.
And that's what we're talking about. I think it's interesting that these jobs lend themselves to that you mentioned earlier. But I think if when we're waiting for that long period before you may receive any praise or gratification, it can be rewarding to get an email like that, Albert, or to hear or to meet your students. I think we've often, you know, you've met your students. I know how I've had that happen to me. I had them in elementary school and they're in high school and they're like, do you remember me?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then it's just so rewarding, you know. And you really helped me with my English. And it's just,
That's very
that
precious.
Gratification is really good.
Yeah. Let's identify this word gratification, Albert. What does it mean?
Gratification, it comes from the Latin word to give or do as a favor. So it means like doing something for someone else out of the kindness. And then you're very thankful for it. You receive a really nice reward.
Yeah. Maybe a little dopamine.
A little bit of that.
Okay, so there is a very strong pull from the brain's reward center to engage in something else that will deliver a more immediate sense of satisfaction. That's another thing, is we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait a week. We don't want to wait a month or a year. We want the satisfaction right now. And that can hinder long-term happiness, right? When we're those kinds of people where we have to have gratification now.
Right. I want to ask Amanda, do you feel like because we're in the new information age, the new era, we're like, oh, you know, we're all connected. Are we conditioned to want immediate responses and immediate satisfaction or results?
That's a great question, because oftentimes you find that people that didn't have the internet around, mm-hmm. They are often better at waiting for gratification than people today.
Yeah, but what about maybe previous generations? It's all relative, I think, right? So someone living 100 years ago might seem in a rush to someone living 200 years ago.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Yeah. That's
but
true.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, they certainly didn't have the internet 100 years ago, and that certainly has changed the way we behave and changed our personalities. The internet to the rescue. This is an interesting way to write this, Amanda. Why does the author say it like this?
Well, because in the previous sentence, we talk about needing to deliver a more immediate sense of satisfaction. And for many people, the internet does deliver that immediate sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic because the author is saying to the rescue, like the internet is going to save us and help us do these things. But in actuality, the author is saying, and we'll find out more later, that the internet is kind of a hindrance, or can be, to our lives. Yeah.
It's like aiding us to do our worst.
Yeah, and so it's a good hook to bring us into tomorrow's lesson, and we'll start that with the title, Information Overload. So friends, we hope that you've enjoyed studying some English with us today. The topic again is procrastination in an age of information overload. We hope that you join us tomorrow for day two of this lifestyle article here at Advanced. I'm Steve, and with me,
Albert
and Amanda.
So for all of us, have a great day.